guys can turn to 1 Corinthians 13 in your Bibles. We're going to read this passage again this morning that we've been in for a few weeks. I guess we're getting about halfway through this passage. So we've got a few more weeks to go on love lots and on looking at love out of 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm going to start here at actually the last verse of chapter 12 and read up until about verse 8 here in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul writes this, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." 1 Corinthians 13. So let's see. I probably need to get this microphone up here a little bit. Wow, that was loud. Sorry. That's what I get for looking down at the mic and talking. All right, so now this is Paul's description of love to the Corinthian church. And what this is God's description of his style of love, his agape love. This is what love looks like. When God thinks about love in his mind, he says, it's not patient. It is patient. it's patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. That's what God thinks when he thinks of love. And as Eldon's been talking about for the last few weeks, sometimes we think of love in different ways. We think of it differently because we've been taught differently. And so God adjusts our thinking here in this passage. Now, one of the things that he's going to teach us here today is that love is not rude. Love is not rude. There's all kinds of different ideas out there about what it means to be loving, and also lots of ideas about what it means to be rude. And so when we come to this phrase, love is not rude, we kind of step back and ask ourselves, or I did anyway this week since I had to preach on this. What does it mean to be rude? I mean, I think I know. I think I have an idea of what it means to be rude. But at the same time, I kind of thought I had an idea of what it meant to be loving. And God has adjusted my thinking on that a little bit through this passage. And so as we come to the text and as we ask ourselves, what exactly does Paul mean when he says love is not rude? Then we have to examine some things. I have a clip that I want to show you here real quick. It's the first one. Maybe rude is like this.
Oh, nice to see a familiar face.
Ichuta.
How rude.
All right, so yeah, we had to get at least one Star Wars clip in there. I have been accused of being a Star Wars geek, and it's not true. I'm more of an enthusiast. So, but anyhow, C-3PO there, he's just walking along minding his own business. He says, hey, it's good to see a familiar face. And then the other droid says something kind of mean. And C-3PO says, how rude. Is that what he's talking about here in this passage? Is that the kind of rudeness? When you get a kind of a sharp remark from somebody, something that wasn't said kindly, perhaps. Now, I'll be honest with you, the best way to understand the Bible, or the best interpreter of Scripture, is Scripture itself. And Eldon talks about this all the time. It's so important to look in the context to find out what is it that Paul is really talking about. What's in the context? And 1 Corinthians, as you know, is a book. There's what, 16 chapters or so. There's all kinds of things we can look at. And I want to look at two examples from the book of 1 Corinthians when Paul sees some rudeness in the church. And he calls them out on it a little bit. The first one here is in chapter 11, verses 17 to 22. And I want to read this to you. This is about the Lord's Supper. What they've been doing there in the church. This is just two chapters before in 11, starting at verse 17. He says, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you." I would hate to get a letter from Paul that says, "I have no praise for you." In this. I mean, you know that whatever he's going to say, it's not cool. "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good." I can't imagine saying that to a church. "Your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not." Now, that particular passage is maybe not immediately clear exactly what Paul's talking about, because I'm not a member of the Corinthian church, and so I'm not really familiar with what typically goes on when they have these meetings of theirs. But it probably looks something a little bit like this. Now, Corinthian society has different kinds of people in it, okay? There are high class and there are low class. Has anybody in here ever watched, like, Downton Abbey or Gosford Park or any of those types? Not very many. Okay, so you guys have no idea what I'm talking about then. But anyhow, sometimes there are those in a society where there's the high class and the low class, and they don't mix, hardly at all. They don't eat the same foods, because you got the high class food, you got the low class food. What happens when this church is getting together? Probably what's going on is those who are rich, those who are a little wealthier, those who have a little better means, they arrive early to the meeting and they bring food with them. Because when these guys celebrate the Lord's Supper, they do it a little differently than us. I mean, we kind of have a little bit of bread. It's like, I don't know why we even eat such small bread, but it's symbolic, right? It's like these little bitty pieces of bread and this little bitty bit of grape juice. Because what's important is that we're celebrating Christ, not just having a meal. But these guys, they went all out. They had a whole meal. But these rich guys, they show up early, they bring all the good food, and they've got all day free because they don't have to work for a living like some of the rest of the folks. They show up early, they bring all this food, and they don't even wait for the rest of the church. They just gobble it all down. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Let's get together and we'll eat all our good food. And then once those who are a little lesser in means show up, maybe they don't have very much. Maybe they weren't able to bring anything. And they get up and so they finally get to the meeting. They sit at their table, because you don't really sit, you know, interspersed, you know, different classes and all. If you're of the low class, you sit over here. You bring your almost nothing with you and you share it, so everybody has almost nothing. And the rich are over there, they're full, maybe even drunk. What kind of a church is that? What kind of a message is that sending? Paul says, your meetings do more harm than good, because the message that you're sending is so wrong because it's rude. It's not loving. Love is not rude like that. Love would wait for others. Love would share with others. Love would say, I want you to have what I have. Love would say, there's no distinction in the body of Christ. There's no difference in class. We're all one at the foot of the cross. It's rude what's going on. And Paul says, and shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. Certainly not. That's one example of rudeness that's happening right there in the Corinthian church. But there's another one as well. It's a couple chapters earlier in chapter 7. Paul's talking about marriage here a little bit. And this word that he uses back here in 1 Corinthians 13, love is not rude, that word means to act improperly or to act unbecomingly or to act in a disgraceful or a shameful way. And he uses that exact same word here in 1 Corinthians 7 at verse, 36. He says in 1 Corinthians 7:36, if anyone thinks he is acting improperly, acting rudely toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if she's getting along in years, and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He's not sinning. They should get married. What? What exactly is he talking about here? I'll read it again. If anyone thinks he's acting improperly or rudely towards the girl he's engaged to, and if she's getting along in years, and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He's not sinning. They should get married. So anyhow, you got a couple that's been engaged for a little while. Maybe she's getting a little bit older, and he thinks perhaps that he's acting improperly towards her, acting in a rude manner. It makes me think just a little bit of Nathan Detroit in this play from this weekend. I mean, in the play, what, he was married to the girl for like 14 years? Engaged, I'm sorry, not married, engaged. He was engaged for like 14 years to the girl. I mean, is that how you treat a girl? Do you say, hey, let's get married someday? And then you just string her along and string her along? After all, especially in this culture, she can't force it into a wedding. That's got to be on him. He's the one that needs to say, let's get married. Maybe that's a little bit what Paul's talking about here. Maybe it's something else. If you guys have got the English Standard Version, then you're probably thinking, hey, that reads awfully different. Because there's a little bit of a translation issue going on here. In this phrase, she's getting along in years, what the word means is something's coming into bloom. Something is maturing. Something's getting a little bit further along. And it might be her. It might just be the relationship. Because in ESV, what does it say? If his passion is strong. In other words, you guys have been dating for a long time, or in this case, engaged for a long time. And you guys all know that the longer you date, the stronger these passions become. And you can imagine maybe what Paul might be saying if you're acting a little improperly towards her now. Maybe you should go ahead and get married. So I don't mean to be crude or anything, but you guys know that as a relationship advances like that, maybe your thoughts are not as pure as what they once were. And what Paul would say is love is not like that. Love is not rude. Now, lust sometimes can be very rude, right? But not love, because a loving man does not treat her that way. Loving men do not treat girls that way. He says, if your passion is strong, go ahead and get married. It's not a sin. And I can't go into everything in this passage. There's a lot going on here. But the point here is that love, when it acts, when it thinks, when it does things, it never disgraces itself. It never acts in a rude way. Whether we're talking about rich guys not sharing their food, whether we're talking about acting improperly towards the girl you're engaged to, the point is, that's a little bit what Paul's talking about when he says love is not rude. All right, are you kind of with me so far? You guys have like these little bitty miniature nods. It's funny to watch. I'm sorry. I hope that wasn't rude. Okay, but as you're thinking about those two examples, maybe, you know, you kind of think, all right, neither one of those exactly apply to me. I mean, not directly. I don't quite get either one of those. And that's fine, because there's a lot of other examples of rudeness in the Bible. Let me take just a moment and try to maybe piece these two things together and give us a definition of what Paul really means by being rude. Being rude is not treating others with the dignity and the respect that they deserve as one made in the image of God. Being rude is not treating others with the dignity and the respect that they deserve as one made in the image of God. Every person on this planet, after all, has value in God's eyes because they're made in His image. And we have no right to dishonor them with rude behavior. Being rude is being inconsiderate, not considering others for who they really are, somebody special to God, somebody that God has His eye on. And so why would I treat them rudely? Why would I slight them in any way? It always makes me think of this one time. I swear I was scarred by this one time because I was a young Christian. I went to a conference. It was kind of a Christian conference, and there were lots and lots of us there, and this is what happened. A bunch of us, we went out for breakfast. So this was a conference that was a few days long. We went out for breakfast one day, and there's a conference in town, so there's a lot of folks around, right? So you can imagine this restaurant was pretty busy. I mean really busy. I mean super busy, and it seemed like they were short-staffed or something. So I'm sitting around with, people who call themselves Christians, and I could not believe the rude behavior that I witnessed. I was shocked. I was sad in my spirit because they were talking about the waitresses, about like, well, you think they could have figured out that there was going to be a bunch of people, so why in the world can't we get any service at this place? And I was like, I can't believe, they can hear you. And they were like, I hope they can hear me because I'm not happy about this. And I was like, oh, what a terrible witness. I was shocked. Love is not like that. Love treats others with respect. For all I know, that lady might have been a Christian. The very waitress that they were talking bad about, or the management that they were talking bad about. What a terrible way to show that you are a believer in Christ. So being rude, in essence, is really about disrespecting people. It can be intentional. A lot of times it's intentional. In that instance I just gave you, it was very intentional. If they would have wanted to, they could have kept their voices down a little bit or not said anything at all. But it can be unintentional as well. Sometimes you might do something without just really thinking about what's going on. Maybe you're in a group with somebody and you tell a joke about something, and as you think about it, that's something that maybe hits really close to home for somebody, and they're hurt by it, and that was rude. And you didn't really think about it. It's not like you intentionally were aiming to hurt this person, but you just didn't think. Peter says it like this. I love the passage that you guys read this morning out of 2 Peter, because I actually want to look at one verse from exactly that passage. 2 Peter verses 16 and 17. By the way, I just have to say that even in preparing this message, even in having to kind of look through all these things, I realized in so many ways I'm preaching to the choir today. I so appreciated what you had to say, Jim, just about the faithfulness and the long-standing perseverance of so many in this church. And so whenever I'm talking about rude and I'm looking around, I'm like, these people know what I mean. This is so far from a rude crowd. But at the same time, God can use this in our hearts to even show those small areas where all of us, there's always room for improvement, isn't there? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says this. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Instead, live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. And that's the part I wanted to key in on for just a second. Show proper respect for everyone. That's what it means to not be rude. to show the proper kind of respect. And he talks about a couple of different kinds. Love the brotherhood of believers. They deserve that because God loves them. And fear God. Show him the kind of respect and awe and fear that he deserves. And honor the king. Honor those in government. Show the proper kind of respect, because anything else would be rude. Rudeness is it's a crazy thing in our culture. Have you ever thought about how much rudeness there really is in American culture? It's actually just something that our culture would actually deceive you into thinking rudeness is almost a virtue. I mean, I was doing some reading this week, and I came across a couple of funny phrases. By funny, I mean very false. On a t-shirt, I read, "I'm not rude, I'm just honest. Can't you handle the truth?" That's not honesty. That's just rudeness. Sometimes we think we're being honest because it's important to tell the truth, right? But it's important to tell the truth in love, not in rudeness. Just because it's on your mind doesn't mean you have to share it. Another one said, "Hey, say what you feel. It's not rude, it's real." Well, it rhymes anyway. But again, no, that's not what the Bible would teach us. The Bible says love is never rude. Just because you're thinking it doesn't mean it's true and doesn't mean it needs to be shared. Say what you feel. It's not rude, it's real. I got a clip to show you also about rudeness in our culture.
I'm going to go ask directions to our next huge embarrassing failure. Hey, Chiefy, could you tell me how far it is to Davenport?
22 miles.
Okay, I can't find it on this map.
Well, get yourself a new map.
Well, it's got to be on the map. Davenport, I mean, because you say it's 22 miles away. And you're really smart, yet it's not on the map.
I'm picking up your sarcasm.
Well, I should hope so, because I'm laying it on pretty thick.
That's map of Illinois, which we're in, on the border of Iowa, which is where Davenport is, 22 miles away. You're in the wrong state. Get yourself a new map.
Oh. Well, that wasn't so hard, was it?
Now, if you know anything about David Spade, you know that a big part of his entire success as a comedian is built on the concept of rudeness. And it's funny. I don't know why it's funny. Both of those guys are just being rude to each other, right? I don't know who was more rude, honestly. And it's funny because they're talking about Davenport. It's 22 miles away. That puts you, what, about Prophetstown or so, I suppose. Maybe that's where they filmed it. But the point of it is that rudeness is something that it's almost like we enjoy it. We like to laugh at it because it's inappropriate. That's not good behavior. It's rude. But we laugh at it. TV seems to be all about it sometimes, movies and everything. There's rude jokes, there's rude actions, there's rude all kinds of stuff. And if you think about reality TV, man, if it's not the people that are being rude to one another on reality TV, it's about judges that are rude to contestants. I mean, rudeness is just everywhere, it seems like. And it's kind of a trap, in a sense. Like I said, our culture can deceive you into thinking that it's good behavior. But Paul says, let me show you the more excellent way. Love is not rude. Love is not rude. I want to look at one more verse, and then, hey, we're going to be done, and we may get out a little bit early. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. As I was looking through stuff, I was kind of surprised about this verse because I've quoted this verse many, many times in my life, but I always leave out the end. It says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." But what? But do it with gentleness and respect. I don't know how many times I've run across the fact that as we share about our Lord, even, as we share about everything that Christ has done for us, as we live our lives as Christians, we don't always do it with gentleness and respect. Sometimes we're rude, aren't we? How many people have you run into in your life that say, I really don't want to have anything to do with the church because I can't stand the people? And whether it was intentional or whether it was unintentional, sometimes we just put people off by rudeness, the rudeness of our behavior, by not showing folks the dignity and respect that they deserve as those made in the image of God. We have to watch out in our culture that we don't get sucked into the lie that rudeness is acceptable behavior. In Ecclesiastes, let me just read a couple of lines to you. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. At the beginning, his words are folly, but by the end, they are wicked madness, and the fool multiplies words. That's part of the danger of rudeness. It starts out as just something silly, something wrong, but by the end, by the time it matures, rudeness turns into wicked madness. If you think about it, really, isn't that like the essence of things like racism and such? It starts by thinking, I don't really need to show someone the dignity and respect that they deserve as someone made in the image of God. But the longer it goes on, it turns into a wicked madness. Love is not like that. Love is not rude. So in this passage, when we think about how we witness to others, how we show our faith, how we live our lives, to live and to show the respect that folks deserve. Because people watch us, right? Just like you were saying, Jim, they watch. People make decisions about the God we serve based on the life that we live. If my words are gracious, and if your words are gracious, won't they think the God they serve, he must be gracious? But if I'm brash, if I'm harsh, if I'm rude, what will they think of my king? Love is not rude. And Jesus is not rude. If there's anyone who shows an example of not being rude, it's Jesus. I love the picture in Revelation chapter 3 at the church of Laodicea when he stands at the door and he knocks. And he says, "Would anyone let me in?" It's his church. He has every right to rush in there and to do whatever he chooses. But he's not rude. He's not demanding of his own will. He doesn't even put his own interests above others. He stands at the door and he knocks and he says, "Will you let me in? And if you will, I will come in and dine with you." That's the example that we have from our Lord, not rude. That's the example that we can walk in, as they read out of the 2 Peter verse, where he has given us an example to walk in his steps. Love is not rude. Again, like I said earlier, I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but at the same time, we all need to hear this message again. And that's all I have. So let's stand, and we'll sing to our great God.